Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast, and I hope you all had a wonderful Mother's Day. Last week, I had so much fun with my husband here talking about Mother's Day and motherhood and the release of my new book, Becoming Homeschoolers, which just came out last week, finally. After years in the making, it feels so good to have that book out there. So thank you for all the support and encouragement. Thank you to those of you who have bought the book, shared the book, and just encouraged me in a million different ways. It all means so much to me. So thank you. And again, I hope you really got a chance to celebrate the moms in your life and even take a moment to recognize all that you do, those of you who are moms in any different way. Motherhood is so important, and I just love to encourage moms, so thanks for being here. That's what we try to do every week, and today is a really special episode, kind of continuing on with that theme of motherhood and the release of my book, because I have the forward writer for Becoming Homeschoolers with me, Sarah Mulliter. Sarah is an amazing young mom to seven children, six boys and a girl, and they are just a beautiful family and such an inspiration to me and so many others. If you're not following her on Instagram, I give you permission to pause this episode and just go look for Modern Farmhouse Family, and you're going to be so encouraged and inspired. Sarah uses her online space, that social media place that we know, social media, there's pros and cons. Some of you have love-hate relationships like I do with it, but Sarah really knows how to use social media for good. And she's an encouragement throughout the whole day. She's sharing great resources, humor, her darling kids, Sunday nights. She does a Sunday night prayer that I love to tune into. So she is one person worth following on Instagram, and I hope you do. So look for Modern Farmhouse Family. But some of you will remember Sarah because she was on the podcast last fall talking about her book, Well Said, where she's talking about the power of our words and some of her journey overcoming some bad habits in her own words in her family. And man, it was such an encouraging episode. I got so much great feedback on that. But Sarah wrote the foreword to Becoming Homeschoolers, and it was such a blessing for me to bring her in to this project, hear her voice. And now today, we get to talk to her, and this is truly just a girlfriend chat. And I'm super excited to share it because this is the kind of stuff most of us women really enjoy, and I hope you do. But we're just asking her the sincere questions most of us would have when we're looking at her and her gazillion Instagram followers and her life, her stories. And I'm just like, so what are your days like? Like, really, do you have help? How do you juggle it all? You look so good and refreshed. Do you exercise? When do you do devotions? Like, seriously, we're just asking her questions, and she's so much fun and just gives us really honest answers. And I feel like we were just hanging out, chatting over coffee, and I think you're going to feel like you're joining us in that conversation. Now, before we jump into this super fun conversation, I do want to tell you about something special happening over at Christian Parenting, and I know that this is something a lot of you will be interested in because I get so many requests for devotionals for kids. And Christian Parenting has teamed up with First 15. Now, First 15 is an app I have mentioned many times. I use it most days. I start off my devotional time by opening the First 15 app, and I love it because it's really well done. It's really biblically sound, but also because they read to me. And when I'm starting my coffee and just waking up, I love to listen to this app. They go through different series on different topics. And then once I'm done with that, I'm a little more awake. And then I dive in and read a chapter or two from the Bible and go on with my devotional time. But that was a side note. That was just me talking about my devotions. But the point here is that Christian Parenting and First 15 together have teamed up to create a brand new devotional just for kids. kids, and it's called God's Holy Spirit in Me. It's a 20-day devotional, and it'll help kids ages 6 through 12 discover what it means to have God's Spirit in them. Kids will learn how much God wants to be a part of their lives and help them to be more like His Son, Jesus. And so there's three things that you'll find every day in this devotional. One is a scripture for the day and a short devotional that'll teach your kids about God's Holy Spirit, yourself, and the Bible. Second, a special prayer to help kids spend time talking and listening to God. And then third, a fun activity to help kids apply the truth they've learned. This is a wonderful opportunity for the kids in your life to spend time each day with the God who loves them so much that He sent His Holy Spirit to live in them. So to find out more and get your copy, go over to cpgive.org. Again, that's the letters CP, like Christian Parenting, give.org, and get your copy of this really sweet devotional. I know it's going to be a blessing to you guys. So definitely check that one out. Okay, now we get to jump in and have this super fun girlfriend chat with Sarah Molitor. I think you're going to love it. I'll have a few final words to say at the end, but without further ado, let's jump in. Sarah, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. I have been excited to be back on with you.
All right, but we just started chatting so much, we had to remember to hit record.
So that's also why I'm excited to be back on, because I just get to chat with you.
It is. And really, I love these conversations. Not too often do I do these where I really feel like I just want to chat with you, and I'm thinking of all the things that everyone else wants to know too, that I'm curious about. And it's going to just feel like two girlfriends having coffee and chatting. So
yes,
we are going to dive in. Now, you were on with us not too long ago talking about your book, Well Said, mm-hmm. and that was awesome. So we're going to link to that. I heard from so many people who were so encouraged and challenged, and they bought the book and they loved the book, and then they bought it for everyone else. So for anyone who hasn't listened to that episode or read Well Said, we're going to encourage you to do that. But in case someone's brand new here, can you just introduce yourself? Tell everyone a little about yourself.
Yeah, my mom told me that when I introduce myself now, I need to include the word author. She's like, you need to get in that mode because you wrote a book, which is hard for me because usually I'm like wife, mom to seven. My husband and I live in Washington mm-hmm. State, and I forget like, oh yes, I have done that. So I've actually authored two children's books as well as Well Said, which is my first kind of, I say, my big girl book, my adult book. But we live here in Washington State with our seven kiddos. Our oldest is 11. It ranges down to our littlest one just turned one, which is a little like, oh, wow. And we just love homeschooling. We love being able to have the space to do that. We love community. We love Jesus. We love all those things. So same thing as you.
Good stuff. Awesome. And again, people, there's a little more introduction in the other episode, but tell us about Well Said, the brief summary, mm-hmm. so people can check that out.
Yeah, Well Said was really born out of a nice juicy story, which like a lot of stories are born out of, mm-hmm. but the juiciness of it was basically that I was in a part of our marriage where we had had a couple children, and I wasn't speaking very kindly to my husband. And when I say that, I mean like I'm being very nice about myself right now, because when you read chapter one, you'll be like, I don't think I like Sarah, but I like Tim. And then you might get to chapter two and you'd be like, okay, Sarah's not so bad. She's nice. But really, we just hit a point in our marriage where I was not speaking kindly to Tim. I was using words to wage war, to cause messes. And it was something I knew I could control, but I just didn't know how to control it, how I could climb out of that pit. But by God's grace and His redemption and His help, we found a way. There were lots of practical steps. There were a lot of Lord help me steps. And He walked us through that season in marriage. He walked me through that season in marriage. He allowed Tim to come alongside me gracefully and walk with me in that. So it wasn't a just me, like I got to deal with it. It was really a marriage thing. And because of that, we came out better on the other side in our marriage, in our communication, in our ability to parent and talk through those things. It just really solidified some things in who we were in the Lord. And even now when we maybe hit those humps and bumps where I feel like, oh, I just want to say this thing or get back into that mode, I know the alternative. I know where I've been and I know where the Lord's brought me. Mm-hmm. And so at least a little bit better, I'm able to say, no, Sarah, that's not going to end well. Do it a different way. Wow. Most of the time. Most of the time I can get there.
Oh, that's so good. And it's just, yeah, it's such a book packed with encouragement and, you know, challenging too, because mm-hmm. you did make some tough choices to do it a different way. But
yeah,
like you said, on the other side is so worth it all. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So now we're gonna learn a little bit more about Sarah, but we're gonna ask questions that I think are gonna benefit everyone listening for our own lives, because though we all have different stuff we juggle, we all have different stories, we're all walking through this life. Those listening, you know, mostly women, and mm-hmm. most of us are just really wanting to honor the Lord with our lives and make good choices, yeah. but it's tough. Before we get into some of these practical questions, though, one thing I don't think I know. You said you forget to say you're an author, but you've been in the social media world for a while.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think I know the story of how like you built up what you've got going there now, because that's a lot.
That's funny. I never mentioned that either. See, I feel like, and a lot of those things, I feel like that's my healthy check and balance of like, who are you, Sarah? I am wife, mother, right. like those are, you know, and like there are other pieces, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to be defined by that, but they are a huge chunk of our lives, a huge chunk of my life. Mm-hmm. And actually out of that moment of stickiness in marriage where I was really struggling, there was this really funny time when we had kind of walked, they had probably been like maybe 6 months, maybe a year post that. Mm-hmm. And I think we had three kids at this point. And Tim was like, I love you so much. I think you need a hobby. Like, I think you need something.
Wow.
And I was like, how rude. I'm doing fine. And he's like, I really think you need something that's yours. Mm-hmm. And so I called my sisters and I was like, you will not believe what he told me. And they were like, Tim. And then they were like, but maybe he has a point.
Maybe
so,
he has a point.
So I was like, at that point, I'm looking around. I'm like, well, I'm not going to go spend like thousands on, you know, making a hobby out of myself. Right. And I looked around, what we had was a camera, and I thought, you know what? I want to teach myself how to take pictures. I'm going to do that. Picked up the camera, watched a bunch of YouTubes. One of my sisters at the time ran an Etsy shop making clothes for little babies.
Aww.
And she was like, you know what? There is this thing on Instagram, which I'm not on Instagram. It's like kind of new, you know, people are still using like Rio de Janeiro filters, like still all
yeah,
those old things.
I remember that.
And she's like, they're called brand reps. People will send you a shirt. You'll take a picture and you get the shirt for free. Like, how awesome. So that's how we started. I made an account called Jude and Hudson, our oldest two kids. And so I guess I only had two. That makes sense. Okay. Jude and Hudson. And I started applying to be brand reps, like, please send me a shirt. I'll take cute pictures of my kids in it and I'll post them. That went on for multiple years to fast forward. And at some point along the way, I think I had like 25,000 followers and probably 15,000 of them were robots. And, you know, like nothing, not like a real, I mean, I was trying, I just didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And at that point we moved into a new home. We had four kids now. And I told Tim, I said, you know what? I do not want to just put sweet pictures of my kids in t-shirts. Like, I want to share more of our life. I want to share my story. I want to share. And he's like, that's what you feel like you want to do. And from there is really where the community grew. That was in like 2018. So it'd been like three, almost 4 years on Instagram. And it was a very slow growth, but I prefer that. And I like that because what it's built is a deeper community.
Yeah.
And so for that, I'm thankful. I wasn't looking for anything. I was looking for a hobby. Yeah. And the Lord took that, made it something totally unexpected. And still to this day, Tim and I are like, what in the world are we doing? And what in the world is going on? And how in the world do we do that? We feel that every day. And we're like, feel that kind of fake it till you make it. Even though some people would be like, you've made it. Like, I don't know that I ever like that sits in me that I'm like, oh, I'm here, you know, it's just so unexpected.
Right. Well, and that's your humility as well. But that's so interesting. I never knew that story. And I think it just, that's so funny that you kind of did start off intentionally trying. That just is so fun. Yeah. And I guess through those first few years, then you learned so much that then
I did.
Once you're doing your own authentic thing, you kind of have that already built in. So that's so cool. I love
it's
it.
Yeah.
What we want to talk about today is I was talking to a friend about you and she was like, I want to know how she does it all. And that's a phrase we all know.
Yeah.
Does it all, right? No, we get that. There's nobody that can do everything. Mm-hmm. But I recently interviewed Sally Clarkson, who will have probably just been on a couple of weeks before this airs. And she said a phrase, and I'm probably getting this quote a little bit off, but she said, moms have a greater capacity than they think. Mm. And that really struck me. Because I think sometimes, well, based on our personality, some of us just are wired to go, go, go. That's me. Yeah. If I weren't doing something, I'd be trying to find something to do. I just love to do a lot. Other people are happier with, you know, a more mellow, relaxed life. And I admire that. I love it. I want more of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think sometimes we can do more than we think and we might get overwhelmed and think like, woe is me. So I am inspired by someone like you who, sure, you may not do everything, but you're doing a lot. And it appears from my honest evaluation that you're doing a great job. You're keeping the
thank you
thing. You're pointing to Jesus. You're, you know, homeschooling your kids. And you're going to tell us that you probably have help in a few areas. But maybe start with that. Like, what would you say is some of the keys to doing and juggling all the things that you're doing?
I would say right off the bat, one of the things you see is what you're seeing is a lot accurate. Like I would feel some of the same things about myself if I was speaking honestly. Like I feel like I'm good and I'm habitual and I've laid out some good patterns for my life in different areas. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what you see was from the fruit of doing hard work in those dark days when it was really hard and it didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I guess like the hope I would want to speak to moms is that like the hard work and the hard season that maybe some find themselves in, like it's worth the work. Mm-hmm. Like there is fruit, there is perspective, there is some hill you're going to climb and you're going to look back and you're going to be like, I'm so glad I bit the bullet. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I did that thing. I'm so glad I created that habit then so that I could benefit now, you know? And there are things I don't even think about, I guess. I guess there are things like, even like basic or practically thinking, like, I'm so glad that as a young mom, I decided I was going to wake up every day, take a shower, get myself ready and get dressed because before kids, I could have decided to like not do that, right? Mm-hmm. But that set the tone that now 11 years later into having kids, I'm waking up every day, getting myself ready, getting dressed, and I walk out of my bedroom ready to kind of take on whatever the day is. I don't walk out with my, you know, pajamas hanging off me. And I'm not saying this to criticize. I'm saying this is a habit I built into myself that I'm seeing fruit from. For me to stay organized, to stay feel healthy, that when I look ready, I feel ready. And when I feel ready, I am ready to tackle some things. I don't walk out, you know, hair half done, bed unmade, all of this. And my kid's like, blah, and I'm like, blah, in return, right? Like, I feel like I can walk out of my room. I truly, truly feel this. And if a kid came to me with like the most epic disaster, something meltdown, I would be able to get on a knee and be like, it's okay. Like, how are we going to tackle this? Because I don't feel like a disaster and a meltdown inside of my spirit or on the outside. So I really would not get in that like, oh, you need to do this, Sylvia. But there are some habitual things that I think moms can do that I think we can do as women that some would like to label, you know, oh, that's vain or that's this or that's that. But call it what you want. There is something to it. There are reasons that it works. And there are reasons that like people who are effective do certain things. And I think as moms, as women, we can take on some of those, not because we're running a business in our home, but because it helps us to function better in our lives. And it creates a peace. Like that's what we're looking for. Absolutely. Like, right? It creates a peace in my home.
Yes. That's so good. And I think that, you know, experts talking about productivity or efficiency are all going to say, make your bed, you know, do these things that my sons were reading books in high school where that really inspired them to find out that almost across the board, successful people all have certain habits in place.
Yeah.
So can I get personal and ask a few, like somebody else besides me has to be wondering, You were a college athlete?
I was a college athlete.
Yeah. So do you exercise? I mean, you look great.
I don't exercise.
Don't exercise.
I have to tell you the funniest thing about that. I'm not the good example of exercise. Okay.
Well, you move all day long. My goodness.
Yeah, right. So like, that's what I count. I do laugh at that. You know, funny story. I was a college athlete. I spent my entire growing up from age 9, working out, getting stronger, working every day, waking up at 5 a.m. to do this. And I went into college and I played Division I softball and I did the same thing. I woke up every single day and then I would go to a class. Then I would eat breakfast. Then I'd work out again. Then I'd have practice. Then I'd have study hall. Then I'd work out again. And then we had to get our own 45 minutes of cardio in on top of that. And I was great at all of that. Mm-hmm. And I got done and I was like, I am done. I am like, mm-hmm. I want to walk away. Like, what can I do that's sustainable?
Yeah.
Because this isn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like threw it all in the garbage.
Wow.
And for a long time there, I really didn't do anything. I mean, I would like go on walks with my dog, but I was like, no, I'm not. And then wow. I would go on walks, pushing my kids in strollers. And even to this day, it's funny because I'm like, I would say I'm currently working in that, like, Sarah, it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to say like, hey, that worked for a while, but it doesn't work now. I will say, and I want to be honest about that. What I have on my side is I do have a little bit of good DNA and my dad and my mom would say it's from my dad. It is. And I don't ever want, and that's the hard part is when women are like, how did you bounce back after that child? I'm like, I am not going to lie to you. I just have some good genes.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that by my denim. I mean that by like my, I have some good built in and my body just physically
wow.
bounces back on its own. Doubt. Well,
bunch of babies.
Yeah. And I'm like, I am so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. I do. Now I wouldn't like put the best, I do eat healthy. Mm-hmm. Like we have a very, like we like are very good, pretty healthy eaters. Like I don't go buy everything organic, but I'm like making well-rounded meals mm-hmm. every day. We're not just snacking on mm-hmm. a lot of junk. I mean, I am moving through my house and walking. I'm not sedentary,
yeah. Yeah.
But exercise is something that you're catching me in the middle of my head right now, trying to say that could be good for me. I can do it. Do I want to do it? And even if I don't, should I?
I love this.
Do something. So that's where I'm at with that right now. I went to Jazzercise with my sister and I was like,
there's
I like
still Jazzercise out there?
Oh my gosh. There's she does Jazzercise and it was
I would
fun.
So go. I would
and
so
I was go. Like, this is fun. And then I was like, but I'm like not getting there 3 days a week with a little baby waking up in the morning. So I'm just, again, I'm in the middle of it. I'm trying to have grace. I'm trying to figure out maybe where I fit, where I stand. Sometimes Tim will pop on the floor and be like, do a quick push up and leg workout with me. And I'll be like, okay. And I'll do that.
Yeah.
And I can, and like, I can do it. And I'm just not in a regular something.
Well, next time you're on, we're going to touch back on this and find your progress. See where you land. You.
I love it.
That is so cool. Okay. So I know you do this next question, but now that I know you get up and shower and you're ready for your day, mm-hmm. when do you spend time with the Lord?
Oh gosh, I'll admit to you this too. Right now it is a little all over the place.
You don't read your Bible. No, I'm kidding. You do. I know you do.
What? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Read your Bible, pray every day.
There we go. Grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been trying some different things for myself because I was getting in bed at the end of the day mm-hmm. and reading my Bible and being like, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it because I wanted to do it, but also because I needed to do it, but because that's about the only time I felt like. And then I really got convicted and felt like, Lord, I don't want you at the end. Like, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like, I feel like in my days I'm weaving the Lord in with my children and right. we're talking about things, but I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want my time with you to be the last thing, mm-hmm. but I don't know that I'm going to be that 5 a.m. mom mm-hmm. that wakes up and says 1 hour of, you know, this quiet and quiet time mm-hmm. with the Lord. Like, it's just probably not my story. So I've been finding that nap time is a really fruitful time for me. Mm-hmm. I get all the kids down and right around 2 o'clock, I'm like, I take a big deep breath and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I can sit. I can read, I can like take the time that I want and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Another thing I'm finding that I'm really liking is that 15, 20 minutes that I'm getting ready in the morning. Mm-hmm. I felt guilty about this at first and I don't know why I feel guilty about it, but I've been listening to the Bible on audio while I get mm-hmm. ready. And I had to kind of get over my head like, Sarah, why? Because I felt like there was something, and it might be a little bit of like legalism in me that I'm working out of like, you need to have your Bible in your lap, reading that actual book. And like, yes, you do. I am not going to, that is a thing. Mm-hmm. But in that 15, 20 minutes in the morning, I have a lot of kids filtering in and out. And I was like, you know what? I can listen to the proverb of the day, mm-hmm. the psalm of the day, and I can usually get about 2 to 3 chapters in by listening. Amazing. If I just turn my phone on. And that also deters me from turning my phone on for something else. Mm-hmm. Cough, cough, yep. Instagram, cough, cough, right. Facebook, cough, cough, whatever else I scroll. So I'm trying this. I'm talking like within the last month, I'm really trying to make this a habit of I take my shower, I get dressed, and then I grab my phone, I turn it on the Bible app, I press play, and I set it on my thing, and I just start doing my hair, doing yeah. my makeup, whatever. Yeah. And however far I get, I'm thankful that I got that in.
Yeah.
And like even today, before I spoke to you, there was a moment where I was like listening to something in Proverbs, and I felt like the Lord tell me like, pray for your husband for that. And I just paused.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it didn't have to be big and in depth. I was just like, Lord, like, you know, he has a big day in front of him. Like, this is what I pray. Like, I just felt like you. And then I just unpaused and kept going with my week. So that's been really fruitful. So again, finding rhythms and things that work in every season, it changes. And I'm trying to be flexible and lean into that.
No, I love that so much. And, you know, I talk often in parenting about like Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it's chapter 11, the whole idea of teaching your children throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But I think the same concept applies for our own lives. Like when you're taking it in any way you can. And I mean, really, the Lord sees your heart. He's like, look at her. She's curling her hair and listening to my word. Like, you know that has to please the Father's heart. So I think that that's what we need to keep returning to is where's your heart in this and what's your motivation? Absolutely. Oh, that's so good. Okay. So now again, I'm thinking for my listeners, somebody out there is like, thank you, Monica. But I don't know what time this is that you're doing all this. Do your kids just sleep in a little bit more than you, or do you have a rule like stay in your bed until 7 o'clock or something?
Yeah. I love these conversations because I feel like these are the ones moms want to know. And these are the questions they like, we all want to know. We're all like, wait, how did you do that? And at what time? Tell me exactly. My boys have, my older three have, they all have, well, the older three don't anymore, but the youngest ones have a wake clock, like those okay to wake clocks that turn, you know, green. We're working with that on the little ones. They're a little rambunctious. They're the party room. And so it's a little, you know, my older three are past that. They have a clock now and they just know they're 7:20. So my older three are 7:20. I would say they're probably up around 6:45, 6:50. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of waking up slowly, chatting in their room, setting out stuff. Sometimes they'll come out at 7:20 and their bed's already made and they like run race to the shower. So they're doing the things that they know they can do without opening the door, which is really sweet to see that they like want to get certain things done. Mm-hmm. They're motivated on their own. The party room next door with the three little ones is quite interesting. They are a 7:35.
Okay.
We just bumped it back from 7:45 because they were coming out and I was like, okay, pick your battles, mama. Like I was like literally fighting this battle every day. I was like, Sarah, don't be dumb. You can just turn the clock back 10 minutes, you know, cause they're up. We just moved our 2.5-year-old in with my 6 and 4-year-old. He is the party. He is waking everyone up and he flips the light on, gets the toys out, and he's like, let's play.
Let's go.
Again, I'm learning to choose my battles because sometimes they're just playing in there. And I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. They're in. The 6-year-old is very diligent. He's like, guys, it is not green yet. We cannot open that door till it turns green.
Yeah.
But the minute it turns green, they run out. So that's kind of our timeline. Again, that's a motherhood picking battles things. I think you have to find what sits best, but I think kids can learn some discipline. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my olders are waking up at 6:45, 6:50. You know what? They can lay in bed for 20 to 30 minutes and learn that discipline of like, hey, there's a reason my parents have this. Maybe it's because they need that 20, 30 minutes alone by themselves in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we can lay in here and be okay with that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt their day, but maybe it brings peace to Tim and I.
Mm.
And that's a worthwhile rule and habit we're building into them. And again, going back to like something I've noticed of like that making the bed before they come out, it's starting to build things in them that they're like, well, what can I do while I'm in here? Yeah. And they do that on their own. Now they don't do it every day. Most of the days I'm like that, you know. But some days they have their outfit set out, they're waiting and they're ready to pop out, get in the shower and do that thing.
Yes.
And then by the time they come out, again, Tim and I are like ready to greet the day, like ready yes. to like greet the masses and be like, welcome to the morning, you know, and like do breakfast in a peaceful, happy attitude yeah. where like, if you were shaking me at like 6:40, I might be like, well, this isn't going to yeah. work out well for either of us.
Yes. And Tim's on a similar schedule. Then he gets up with you.
Yeah. Tim wakes up at like 6:45 and I'm like 6:55.
All right.
So he basically showers first. He gets up, he showers first. And like, right when I hear him turn off the water, I'm like, cue roll out of bed, Sarah.
There we go.
And I go and like roll out of bed. I do my thing. And then we're both by about 7:20, 7:25. Like we're ready to hit the ground running and like get that morning going.
And are you coffee people?
Tim is. I am not. I do not like
coffee. I remember that about you. You don't drink coffee.
I think it's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you'll reach her one day.
Tim is so convinced that I'm going to like change my tune.
You know, my husband didn't start. So he went through medical school residency, no coffee. Sometime in his 40s, he started. And now I think he might drink more than me. It's like,
oh my goodness. I can't even imagine it.
So you don't even like the smell?
I can do the smell. That's fine. Like whatever. But the taste, like, you know how those people, you're probably one of those people, Monica. It's like, here, Sarah, try this smoothie. It just has a tiny bit of coffee in it. And I will literally like take a taste and want to like it out because I'm like, that is full of coffee. I just similarly, I don't like tea.
Oh,
I can now tea. I can drink. Like if I have a sore throat, I'm like, I can chalk that down. Sure.
Okay.
But like, I do not like it. I would not choose it. I will choose a fruity smoothie, orange juice anytime. Like I just, hot drinks don't do anything for me. Wow. Hot drinks do. It's really weird. I know.
It's okay. We'll let that one go.
I know.
This could carry on a long time if I just kept going with all of my questions. So I'll try not to be too obnoxious. Any of you homeschooling or thinking about homeschooling, I want to make sure you go over and check out the diveintomath.com website. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours and the professor over at Dive, and he has done an amazing job of preparing kids well for the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Dr. Shorman teaches with a biblical and historical foundation, which offers the why of learning math. Dr. Shorman uses John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. For your math-minded students, it's hard to find a homeschool curriculum that goes as far as you can find in a traditional school setting, but Dr. Shorman offers all the way through Calculus 2. Also, your kids can earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. And here's an inside scoop. Dr. Shorman's classes are shorter and the week is shorter than most curriculums I've found, and yet kids learn more. So definitely go over to diveintomath.com, check it out, let me know what you think. Hey friends, want to simplify family meals this summer? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh's line of kid-friendly recipes are picky eater-proof and perfect for families looking to shake up their dinner recipe rotation while school's out for the summer. Heading out on vacation? Just update your delivery address and enjoy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. I'm a big fan of the tastes of summer, and I appreciate that HelloFresh has seasonal produce picked at peak ripeness and delivered straight from the farm to your door in less than a week. Now here's a fun offer. Go to HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer item per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps. Remember, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. We'll move towards homeschooling. You've got 7 kids. You've got like a baby, little ones. Yeah. I have been very happy to tell the world there's been many seasons where I've hired help with my little guy while I homeschooled the older, or just whatever, household helpers. Yeah. You have somebody that helps with homeschooling or with household, and you do the homeschooling. How does all that work?
Miss Eden, our sweet, lovely, she is like gem of all gems. Can I like, she's just become family. That's the coolest part. It actually started with someone else. And the reason it started, so this started, would it have been 2022 when I started writing my book?
Mm-hmm.
Tim said, "That's great that you've been offered to write a book. Love that. Love that for you. When are you going to do that?" He was like, "At what hour in the day are you squeezing that in?" And I was like, "That is a very good question." He said, "I have a suggestion." And he had been suggesting this for a couple of years. And I was like, "No way, no how am I letting anyone in my home to help me. Mm-mm. My mom didn't do it. Wow. This mom ain't doing it." And he was like, "Suit yourself." But this, so his kind of end deal was, if you're going to write a book, you're going to get help.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "I don't want it." And he's like, "That's great. You're going to do it. It's because we need to still function well and we're doing good.
Let's compromise.
And I want us all to be happy." So I was like, "Okay." He said, "I know someone." Because I was like, "I'm not just letting anyone." Yeah. So we actually tried it with my mom for a little bit. So she lives, to put it in perspective, she lives 3 hours away. So I said, "Mom, would you be willing to come up once a month for like 4 days? I will pay you." And she was like, "I'll absolutely try." And she would do that. And it probably lasted like 4 months. I loved it. I wish I could have her every week. We paid her. And she just was like, I mean, like, who doesn't want Nana in their home for like a week out of every
month?
I'd take
her.
Like every single human being wants Nana. And so she would do, you know, just laundry, play with the boys, whatever, so I could get those things done. And then Tim said, like, "Love your mom. Obviously, we would all love her, but she lives 3 hours away. Like, this isn't sustainable for anyone." We all felt that. We all knew it. Mm-hmm. It was to get me there. He said, "I know someone I know and trust. She loves the Lord, you know, has no kids, and she's looking for something." So we chatted with her, did a little test run. It was a great fit. And she was like, "Hey, I'm not having kids anytime soon." And 6 months later, she was like, "Found out I'm pregnant with my husband."
Of course.
And I was like, "Of course I'm happy for you. Like, I want you to start a family. Like, this is so wonderful. But like, no, I don't want to lose you."
Right.
So she was with us in 8 months. And after we lost her, I was like, "How in the world are we going to find anyone else that can do?" Because she did amazing and she had a rhythm and routine. And so we call it our mother's helper.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit easier for me than nanny. Mm-hmm. Also because I'm in the home.
Yeah.
I'm not asking someone to raise my kids.
Right.
I'm trying to offload the things that take time, but don't necessarily contribute to any, you know, like child raising. So like prepping lunch, folding the laundry, maybe just helping play a game with the little ones while I finish the big's homework, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really what it is and what it still is. And we found someone new. We found Miss Eden. She has been with us almost a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And she is family. I feel like I have it's like if you had a sister in your home all day, a best friend, and you literally are just chit-chatting all day long. Yep. Like we are talking about everything and nothing. Sometimes we're not talking and we're passing ships in the night. Sometimes she's grabbing hands of the little ones and she's like, "Let's go outside and swing while mommy finishes homework with them." There was a lot of guilt in there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I still work through because I'm like, I want to play with my kids.
Right.
And then I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's right, Sarah. You're also choosing to take on a few extra things." Mm-hmm. And so that's okay.
Yeah.
Like that's in this season. And so I called my mom one day and I was like, "You did it all. You and I don't want this help because I want to do what you did." And she's like, "Good gracious, girl. If I could have hired help, I would have."
You're like, "Really? Oh, shit."
She's like, "I couldn't. Like, there was no way that I could hire help."
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, "I release you."
Yeah.
Like, "Dude, I release you from that guilt." And I was genuinely like in tears over like, "Mom, I want to be like you." And she's like, "You are not me. You are doing different things. You are in different seasons. You have double the kids and you're running a business and you're sharing joy on Instagram through the world and you're writing a book." And she's like, "You are not going to do all that well without something." And it was like as tear-filled as it was now, it was like, "I want to." And she's like, "You can't." And so it became a moment where I just had to release a lot of things from the Lord. And I feel like I'm still having those moments where I'm releasing a lot of things from the Lord. And I've just settling in each day in my heart, like, "Lord, you have me doing all these things and I want to do them well. And if you want me to do them equip me and help me find the help that I need to do them. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that. Mm-hmm. And as long as I need it, I think he's going to do that. And I'm confident that when I get to a spot where the Lord says, no more of this, no more of Instagram, no more of this, that I'm going to feel that let go of saying like, then I don't need that. Now's the season to release that and focus on this. And I'm willing. It could be tomorrow, Monica. And I would say, fine, fine. And Tim and I feel like we're in a good spot with the things we have. We hold them very loosely and we hold them very at bay and say, Lord, like it is yours. I am not. Will I miss it? Sure. Like I'm sure I'll miss it, but will I release it? I hope I do it well. Yeah. I hope I do it as well as I took it on.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. And I think that's why the Lord keeps allowing you or calling you to carry it, because he knows that you are ready to let it go, that it hasn't become a god or an idol. So
I hope so.
Yeah. And I think that some of that too is things that we can in our time with the Lord continue to bring before him and say, here it is anytime. Yeah. Like we need to be prepared so that when that day comes, we really do mean it. Yeah. And I love that the help you have, you know, I remember hearing years ago, there's certain things that only you can do. Yes. And that's love your kids. That's spend the kind of time that a mom needs with her kids or write your book. But the things that don't require you, it just makes sense. And I think I'm so much like you in that way that I get stuck in my head what it should look like or what my mom did. But I love that your mom kind of gave you that release and that she was able to acknowledge and remind you that you're called to different things and that it's not going to look the same. So that's beautiful. Yeah. So good. Okay. So I am really happy to have your name in my book as the forward writer.
So honored.
No
way. So excited for you.
Yeah. You wrote such a beautiful forward, and hopefully everyone listening can read my book, Becoming Homeschoolers, and read your forward. But yeah, such a friend you are that I think I reached out to like, oh, I don't know, 2 weeks before Christmas. And I'm like, hey, guess what? We just decided we want to put a forward in the book, and you're not busy right now, are you?
Only for you. Only for you, Monica.
So bad. And I was completely prepared for a big no. So thank you again for doing that. But before we close up here, I do want to hear a little bit more. Anyone who reads your forward can hear a bit of your experience with homeschooling. Mm-hmm. But did you always plan to homeschool? Was that on your heart before you had kids?
Yeah, I don't know that it was necessarily on my heart, like something I actively thought about, but I remember my oldest turned 5 and I was like, kindergarten. Yeah, we can do that at home. That's easy. Like we don't need to go, you know, we can do that in about half an hour at home.
I love that.
And he was a great learner. He was exactly what you want if you want to start homeschooling.
Yeah, yeah.
He was what every mother hopes for, which made it easier to jump in. And then it just became so much part of a routine that I was like, yeah, like I don't want my kids to go. It started as a more, I don't want my kids to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I want time with them. Like a selfish, I don't even think that's selfish as a mother. Mm. Like it really started as a, I'm not ready to let them go. That's also my personality. Tim would laugh. I am like the hold on tight mother. Like he's like, you gotta let him try, Sarah. And I'm like, I will on a rope. And I'm getting better at that. So it started as that. And then it became a, I think I can do this. Like and then I remember I cracked open like the first grade or maybe second grade curriculum. And I was like, whoa, this is not kindergarten. That's a little bit different than kindergarten, right? Like maybe this is a little more than I stepped into. And I had a little moment of panic the night before we started our school year, you know, and that. And then once we did a week, I was like, back to that. Okay. I think I can do this again. Like this is doable. It's kind of like that. See it, do it, teach it. Like once you get there, you're like, okay, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I think I would have told you 2 years ago, I'm just kind of going year by year, Monica. Mm. And this year I was really praying for some specific things, mostly in Tim, not because he's not a good advocate and like proponent of it, but because he did not have a great homeschool experience for the 2 years he homeschooled.
Okay.
It was miserable for, he would say he was not a good fit for it. Mm-hmm. His mom and him didn't mesh well in it.
Yeah.
And so he walked out and I was like, that's terrible. Never for my children.
Yeah.
And so it's been a journey for him as well. He's always been supportive. He has always been supportive and like, yeah, he has never been like, yes, I see this as our family's journey.
Okay.
So I was praying some big prayers like, Lord, I really want him to be on board with me. And it was interesting because just this year, like around Christmas time, around December, he casually said something to me. And I don't think he thought it meant as much as it did to me, but it did mean something to me. He came and he's like, you know, I was just thinking about it. And I was thinking that really, because our state offers some things where you can do some like college, you know, overlapping things. Mm-hmm. He said, really, you're only homeschooling through grade 10. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's not that far off. Like you could do that. And I was like, yeah, I think I can. And he's like, yes, actually, I think you can too. And in that, I was like, okay, we can do this. And that in me gave me a long-term vision for it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this year is our sixth year of homeschooling. And it's the first year I felt like I have a little bit of a long-term vision here. I have a little stake in the game. Like I like skin in the game. I said that wrong. That's steak. Totally me. I say it all wrong. No. That's okay.
I didn't even notice. So
I also like steak. I have a steak in the game. So I feel that and I hadn't felt that yet. And so I felt a little bit more this year than I've ever felt before. Wow. And it may look different when anyone feels that, mm-hmm. but I'm excited. And wow. I feel like, ooh, I'm in it for a little bit more. And now I feel like it's a bit of a challenge. Like, I can do this. So, you know, in that we're learning to be flexible in some different areas. Like, hey, let's try this. Let's try a video for you. Let's see how you like that.
Yeah.
Let's try some things that will make this functional mm-hmm. as we continue to move forward. And I'm willing and I'm trying to be flexible. And I know there's a lot more I'm going to learn, mm-hmm. but I am fully excited. And so I just want to tell everyone right now, like, here's the thing, whether you're just starting homeschooling or whether you're maybe 6 years in or whether you're maybe at the end, like this book that Monica has written, I'm going to give you a little plug, not a forward plug, like a Sarah, a real talk Aww. Plug here. I opened this book, not with any expectation. And I read like the first chapter and you had me gripped at chapter one. It was so funny. Because you are a really lovely mix of here's the practical reason you should do it. Here's the biblical reason that like is a pretty like good biblical reason to do it. And here's the statistical reason for you. Yeah. So I would even say that if someone wasn't a believer, which most people probably listening to you are, but for the person that might not be, that's like, mm-hmm. I don't want that biblical version. You're going to walk away from Monica's book and you're going to be like, actually, I'm compelled. Like mm-hmm. you've got me, you've got my ear, you've got my ear and I'm listening. And from the first chapter, I feel like people are going to feel this. And this is why I'm so excited about Aww. It is that I was like turning every page and I'm like, tell me more, tell me like, and then I read your chapter titles and I was like, ooh, I want to go read the chapter title about prepping for high school, but no, I've got to finish the first ones first. It's a page turner and it's compelling and it's something where I was like, Tim, read this paragraph. This is such a good point. And I was doing that so much that he was like, why don't you just read it? And then I'll read it.
Because, I love
because
that.
You keep passing it to me on every paragraph. And this isn't like, you just need to finish. And I was like, okay.
I love that.
So it's not just for moms. It's not just for dads. It's for the family. Mm. It's for parents who want to make a decision about their education, whether you're a single mom, a single dad, making this decision together. And it's for people who want to have a stake in what their children are learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that you'll walk away and you'll feel very, again, I'll use the word, like you'll feel very compelled in a very delightful way. You're not going to feel condemned. You're not going to feel like, dang it, I did it wrong for the first 10 years.
Right.
You know, you are just going to feel like equipped and like, I can do this. And someone just gave me the backing and encouragement I needed to take that next step over the hill I've been thinking about. And they're going to walk with me with it. And so Monica, kudos to you because you have done that. And it's a gift to the homeschool community. It's a gift to the non-homeschooling community because there are going to be people that are going to walk in and say, I homeschooled because of Monica. And it's not about you. It's because of what the Lord gifted you to say, speak, write. And it's a timely message for this time that's relevant, that's impactful. And it's going to stay that way. It's going to stay that way. And I'm going to keep the book and I'm going to keep flipping through it. And in eighth grade, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I got to go back to that chapter about preparing for high school. And it's all those things that any person could want to walk them through this journey. So I'm so excited for you.
I'll pay you later, Sarah. Thank you. That was so kind. I promise, guys, I didn't tell her to do that. No. Thank you.
But I have to say it because it's true and people need to know it because Monica won't say it. She'll say some things, but she won't say it all.
Well, thank you. And I never would have dreamt somebody would call a homeschool book a page turner. So let's just I got to use that for my marketing, a page turner. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. And I do feel so blessed that the Lord has, you know, surprised me with this experience that I never planned on. And to be able to then just pass it along is such an honor. And one thing you said about your experience that I love is, and for anyone listening, I do say throughout the book, and I will always say, you can always try homeschooling and then switch if you don't like it. Yes, that is true. However, there is something subtle that you just experienced that happens when you're like, we're becoming homeschoolers. Like this is who we are. And suddenly you start looking at it different. Like this isn't just a try it this year or, you know, a short-term thing, but it's kind of like becomes part of the DNA of your family culture. Yes. And then you're like, wow, I get to be the one to shape what my kids one day look back and say was their experience of education. And that's pretty cool. I find that there's a shift that is really special. If anyone listening maybe is dabbling in the homeschool world and like, we're going to do it this year, try for fun to give yourself that idea of like, what if this is who we were? I don't know. It's something that's hard to put into words, but it's
the really freedom special. Though. I think what you're talking about is just the freedom, and I'm not going to go on that. It's just my oldest said the other day, he frequently says this, not because he's paid to do it, because he's... But he literally walked up to me the other day and he was like, just wanted to say thanks again for homeschooling. I really like that I'm done by this time and that I can do it on my own. Wow. And I love that you teach me and I love that I do the video and she's really good. And I just, I just like what we do.
Oh man. That's
11 year old. And I'm like, there you go.
Yep. So. Oh, well, beautiful, beautiful, such a testimony. So thank you for sharing all that. That means the world to me. And your foreword was absolutely beautifully written. And in such a crazy busy season, it just means like double. So thank you. And there's so much more about your life that I am fascinated with. I'm going to visit someday and just...
Oh my gosh. I know. I keep saying that. I'm like, when am I going to meet Monica? Like not meet, but like when am I get to hug your neck and like walk with you? And I feel like I need like a few days to just like... Yeah. Let's take some walking loops. Maybe, you know, you'll teach me a few exercise things and we'll run a loop or something.
I love it. I saw you in your stories playing some ball, softball with your kids. So see, look at you. You're out there.
Pickleball too. Yeah.
See, so, you know, you're keeping active. Your life is so much fun to watch. And I love too just how authentic you are about, it's super fun. There's so many cool things you're doing, but one of my favorite things you do is Sunday night prayers. And that is like such a highlight and such a beautiful time to just slow down before the week and go, oh, wait, Sarah prayed tonight because I'm behind you, right? So pray and then I can catch it later. Yeah. But anyway, in fact, I didn't ask you to do this ahead of time, but along those lines, would you be open to just praying for everyone listening before we close here?
Twist my arm.
That'd be so cool. Okay, let's go.
Lord, I just thank you so much for this community that you have built through Monica. Lord, you have done some crazy, amazing things through her journey, and you've brought people alongside her and you've brought people along on the journey. And they're even listening now, Father. And I just pray for those people that are listening, that their hearts would be stirred, that they would be touched, that they don't have to agree with it all and do it all, Lord, but they can take nuggets and they can spit out the rest and say, hey, I can walk away with that one tip. I can walk away with that one encouragement. I can walk away with that one, whatever it is, Lord, that will create a better rhythm in my life, Father, or create a better rhythm in my family. And so I just pray that that's exactly what this conversation would do, Lord, that because you're in us, it can flow to other people, Father, and that you can be in them in a unique way that's specific to their family, their children, their parenting, their journey, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to stir in each of us for the things of you, Father, in that everything we do, whether it be exercise, eating, just that First Corinthians, for whatever we do, that we would do it for your glory, Lord, and homeschooling, that we would take all these things and say, Lord, we're doing it for you and we honor you in it. And that we would keep that at the forefront. We would hold loosely the things you've given us, Lord, but we would also hold them tightly. I know that seems opposite, Lord, but that we would be able to do both in the right capacity, Father, for whatever it is. And so bless our friends, bless Monica and I's friends, bless Monica's friends, since I get to be a guest on here, and let them walk away from this full of your spirit, full of your encouragement, and just full of whatever they're ready to take on next. And we thank you for it and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation and just getting to know Sarah better. I hope you were encouraged by the things that she shared. And again, you'll find show notes with links to anything we talked about where you can follow Sarah over in show notes. And because she's been on before, you'll find those at monicaswanson.com/Sarah-Molitor, MOLITOR-2. Second time on the podcast. All right. So again, thanks for all your support for the release of Becoming Homeschoolers, and I'd sure be thrilled if you not only bought it, but if you now left a rating or review over at on Amazon or wherever you got the book, if you can leave those ratings and reviews, they really, really help. So thank you in advance for that. And oh, we have so many great episodes coming up ahead, so please keep coming back to the podcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends about it. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and until next time, aloha.